Well, praise the Lord. We're going to wrap up our brief series on spiritual warfare. And it is spiritual warfare 101. It's not intended to be some deep, all-inclusive teaching on spiritual warfare. We're just kind of scratching the surface. But I really believe that in this brief series, it equips us enough to be able to stand against the enemy. During the first part of the message, I'm going to do a little bit of a review, and I'm going to say some things that I said in the previous 2 weeks. I just think it's really important to set us up for victory when we finally get to that finally. Amen. It's coming. But first, we have to know the battle is real. This is amazing to me, but the New York Times reported a study about the diminishing belief among Americans that the devil is real. 2/3 of Americans don't believe that the devil is actually a living entity. They polled 1,000 Americans and asked whether they agreed that Satan was not a living being, but a symbol of evil, and 62% agreed with that statement. It's just a symbol of evil. In other words, he doesn't have any real power. He's not a real person. He just represents, you know, it's just the idea of evil. It's amazing how that people don't believe the Bible. And I have to tell you that if you're talking about 62%, you're talking about a whole lot of those people have to be Christians, because at least 60% of America is Christians. So something's awry here, but it's really strange. And we need to know that the battle is absolutely real. And if you read the Bible, you see that over and over again, where there are spiritual forces at work behind the scenes in an unseen world. There is a spiritual battle. It's real. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have an adversary, and it is not another believer, and it's not even the lost. That's not our adversary. Our adversary isn't an atheist. Some people are really confused about this. Our adversary is not the terrible sinner. That's not our adversary. Our adversary is the devil. And we got to be alert and ready. See, it's a deception. If you're focused on some person, as in another human, you're not acknowledging who your enemy is. You're unaware. You're already not ready. And he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to destroy your relationship with God. He wants to steal your peace and your joy and your victory. He wants to rob you of your health. He wants to torment you with fear. And he wants to keep you from fulfilling the purpose of God in your life. So remember, your adversary is real. And the battle is real. We need to realize there are forces of darkness that are at work in this world. It ought to be obvious to us every day when we see the things that are going on in this world. Now, I'm telling you, you need to be aware. But we don't need to be obsessed with the devil. Some people, you know, they go so far that that's all they think about and talk about. I mean, they're preoccupied with the devil. We need to be preoccupied with Jesus. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:2 to fix our eyes on Jesus. But yes, we are always aware that there is a spiritual battle and we have an adversary who is against us. So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 10 through 12. And we're going to work our way through this chapter, but he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. I want you to see that, first of all, he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. First of all, we're talking about being strong in the Lord. We're not talking about a carnal thing, a fleshly thing. We're talking about a spiritual thing. Be strong in spiritual things. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, not our might. You see, it's not about how strong we are. It's about his might at work in our lives. In fact, in Ephesians 1, it tells us that that power that's at work in us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Yes, there's power that works in our lives, but it is his power. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 10:19 that he's given us power over all the power of the enemy. And I just want to remind you, when Luke wrote this, Luke wasn't even one of the disciples. He wasn't even there. This was decades later after Jesus said these words. And my point to you is, again, I make this point a lot, but it needs to be made. It wasn't written for the disciples. It was written for you and me, that we would know we have power over all the power of the enemy. Be strong in the Lord. See, we got to know who we are in Christ. We got to know that we've been redeemed. We got to know that we've been made righteous. We got to know that we've been delivered from the dominion of darkness and translated over into the kingdom of his Son. Amen. That Satan no longer has any authority in our life. You got to know these things. Amen. And we talked about this that first week, that we rest in these truths. But to truly be a disciple of Jesus, I mean, to be a follower of Jesus, to truly know him personally. And I'm telling you, we can't just pretend. It can't just be a little religious thing. It's got to be something that's real in our life. Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 16, it says, then some itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. I want you to know these seven guys got what you call a whooping. Naked and wounded, they ran out of that house. That's humiliated. Why? Because they were pretenders. They didn't even know Jesus. It's like, oh, there's power in this name. Let's try it. I'm not talking about something we're pretending about. I'm not talking about, you know, pretending to be a Christian. I'm talking about when you are a follower of Jesus and you know Jesus, you need to know that the name of Jesus has power when you speak it. You need to know that God has given you power over all the power of the enemy. Now back to chapter 6, verse 11. I want to look at that again. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Armor of God. We're going to work our way through that in a minute, but I want to focus on this right now, the wiles of the devil. In the NIV, it calls it the schemes of the devil. See, Satan has no authority against us. So what he does is he's always scheming. He's always trying to bring deception in some way. the forces of darkness, they always work this way. It's always lies and deception. And you need to be aware of this. In John 8:44, Jesus said that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. See, he loves to twist the word of God. That's why we need to know the word of God for ourselves. Not just what some preacher said, even this preacher. You need to know what the word of God says for yourself. Because Satan is a master deceiver, and he will even take the word of God and twist it to deceive you. And the cure, the preventative and the cure, both, is the word of God. So I challenge you and encourage you, be ready, be vigilant, see, for your adversary. And one of the ways that you can do that is to make yourself a student of the word of God. You know, all those classes in school where they made you study this junk and you're never going to use it. You know, you learn it just long enough to take the test. This is not that. This is real life. This is the difference in success or failure between life and death. I'm telling you, we need the word of God. But Satan will also subtly work through circumstances and situations. He'll use people. He'll even use believers that are unwittingly being a tool. Remember this, though. He's a schemer, and he's been at it a really long time. And you can't deal with him with the wisdom of man. You can't outsmart him with the wisdom of man. It takes the word of God. But so much of our spiritual battle, you see, has to do with deception. It is an attack against our mind. That's why 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And see, we read that also in Ephesians 6:12. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. We don't war according to the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, that master deceiver, we got to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, we kick it out. Because I want to tell you, the enemy will always be trying to deceive you. So you take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Pull down those strongholds in prayer and take control of your thoughts and bring them in line with the word of God. Now back to Ephesians 6:12. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. And I got to say it again, because a lot of believers are so confused about who their fight is with. Fighting with others, too often with believers. I've had a lot of fights in my last 45 years, and almost none of them was with unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Okay. But here's the thing. We're not even supposed to fight with unbelievers. That's wasted energy. And worse than that, you're fighting on the wrong team when you do that. Because I have to tell you, we can't have this us and them attitude. You can't win people with an us and them attitude. Jesus didn't alienate the lost. He came to seek and to save the lost. Think about this. He came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't alienate them. He came to reach them. And we need to have that heart and that attitude. I'm not saying we agree with them. And they may attack us. But we're not going to attack them. We're going to try to win them to Jesus. Because that's what he wants. In fact, it is the God of this age, the Bible says, that has blinded the minds of unbelievers. We need to realize they need our prayer. They need us to stand and fight for them in prayer. Because the God of this age has blinded their minds lest they believe the gospel. But we want to bring them to Jesus. That won't ever happen if you think they're your enemy. But our battle is with the powers of darkness. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. This is the second time he said that we need the armor of God. So I'm going to tell you, when you do spiritual warfare, you need to be dressed for success. That requires the armor of God. How do you take up the whole armor of God? Well, first of all, I don't want to make fun of this in case somebody here is doing it, but I've heard people talk about, you know, how they get up in the morning and they just pretend like they're putting these pieces on. I ain't knocking that if that helps you, but I'm just saying it's not about pretending anything, and it's not about, listen, each piece of the armor gives us spiritual truth that we need to know and live out in our life. That's the important thing. So it says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand in the evil day. There's an evil day. Well, that ain't good news, preacher. I'm telling you, the battle is real. There is an evil day. There is an evil day when the enemy will try to destroy your marriage. There's an evil day when the enemy will try to steal away your health. There's an evil day when your peace is under attack. There's an evil day when the enemy will try to get your child to do drugs. I'm just telling you, there's an evil day, and we got to be ready for that evil day, that we're ready to withstand, he said. You know, sometimes it may be a direct attack on you, might be an attack on your loved one, might be an attack on your coworker, a brother, sister in the Lord, a friend, an acquaintance, or even a stranger. You heard about how they're under attack, but I'm just telling you, we need to be ready for the evil day to fight. Take up the whole armor of God so you'll be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? Stand. He keeps saying it. Stand. Stand. See, we have to stand. You don't quit. You don't run. What do you do in the evil day? You stand. You don't give up. You stand. You stand your ground. If you back down, if you shrink back and you're in fear, you lose. So you stand. But don't worry. God will fight for us. Amen. Remember, it's his power that's at work in us. He causes us to triumph in Christ. So don't make it complicated. Stand. The key thought here behind the word stand is that we hold our ground. This is the original stand your ground. You hold your ground. You don't give an inch to the devil. Now, I'm not saying that we don't advance the kingdom, you know, but you just need to know, when it comes to spiritual warfare, we're fighting with the victory. We're holding on to the victory that's already ours, and we stand and fight for that. We don't allow him to steal from us. 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory. You know, the things in the Old Testament were recorded as examples for us, the Bible says. And when the children of Israel left Egypt and the Egyptian army is pursuing after them, they're cornered at the Red Sea. And they're all so afraid, you know, they're just sitting ducks to the most powerful army in the known world at that time. Exodus 14, 13 and 14, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And I want to tell you tonight, if we stand, the Lord will fight for us. When you're under attack, you need to stand there with the armor of God on and just trust God. Does that work? Well, the Bible tells us in James 4, 7, if we submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from us. He'll flee. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. How long does that take? I don't know. I don't think it's always instant. I wish it was. But I know that it works. You submit to God, you resist the devil, and he will flee. But remember this. Ours is not a battle as though we are trying to take something from Satan. We have the position of victory. We have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in Christ, and all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. I love this story from 2 Samuel chapter 23, 11 and 12. One of David's mighty men, a man named Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils, beans. So the people fled from the Philistines. Everybody ran from these Philistines that were coming. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. This guy was not going to let the enemy have this field of beans. There's no indication that it's his field. He's just not going to let them have it. And he stands his ground in the middle of this field and slaughters these Philistines. He just wasn't willing to back down and let them have these beans. And I'm telling you tonight, we have to stand and don't back down. Don't let them have it. Anybody got anything more valuable than beans? I want to tell you, there are things in our life that are worth standing and fighting for. See, sometimes you got to stand for your marriage. Sometimes you got to stand for your child. It might not be yours. You might need to stand for somebody else's kid. And you just say, you're not going to have them. That's what it means to stand, that we take that position and we say, no, I'm not going to let you have them. I'm going to fight for this. Not going to let you destroy this ministry. Not going to let you hurt that person. I'm going to stand. I'm going to fight for this. See, that's what some of us were doing this week, praying for our young people at camp. We're standing. We're believing God's going to move. The enemy's not going to be able to stop it. I read in Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus says that even the gates of hell will not be able to stand against his church. And then in the very next verse, verse 19, he says, "I give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." I just want you to understand that as a child of God, as a believer, that you have the right to tell the devil no. You don't just have to accept, oh, he's powerful and all. Yes, he is. But when you take a stand against him, you have the power to tell him no. You're not taking this field of beans. Stand. You don't have to let the thief steal from you. steal your peace and your joy, your household being saved. Fight for it. Stand your ground. The Lord will bring the victory. Back to Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore. He says it again. Stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth. We already talked about this. Satan is a liar. He uses deception. Jesus said the word is truth. And he said, if you know the truth will set you free. So again, we need the word of God. Satan will always try to trick you. He'll try to trick you into disobeying God or making some kind of compromise in your life. But he's always trying to deceive you, to get you to back down, to get quit taking that stand. Now, it's been a while. We've been in this building now for 12 years come July. Just in a week or two, we'll have been in this building 12 years. But I remember when we rented a space in the shopping center and I wouldn't sign a lease for more than 18 months. Because I just knew we would be in a new building in 18 months. Well, it was 7 years. And during that 7 years, I can't tell you how many times the voice of the enemy was saying, it's never going to happen. And there were so-called believers who were a tool of the devil who said, it's never going to happen. You're never going to build that building. There were people that scoffed. They didn't think the church would even still be around, much less build a new building. But we believed. And we stood our ground that we're going to build that new building. It is God's will and we're going to see it happen. And God caused it to happen. It's His doing, it's His blessing, it's His might that got it done. But we had to continue to believe in spite of all of the negative accusations of the enemy and the deceptions. And the greater the battle, the greater the victory. But you got to know the truth to keep from being deceived. A lot of people don't wear the belt of truth because they don't know the truth. You got to fill your heart and mind with the truth or you'll be deceived. Next he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We already talked about this, but we need to hit it again. Your righteousness is a gift from God that you received by faith. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And he's always trying to get you to back down. You see, when you take a stand, one of the ways that he's going to try to get you to back down is he's going to bring up your past. He's going to bring up your mistakes. Because if he can get you in condemnation, he can get you to that place where you just doubt that God is going to bring you to victory. You don't allow him to put condemnation on you. You need to stand on the word of God. It's Jesus that made you righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God's not going to fight for you. You haven't been praying enough. It's a lie from the devil. Jesus took our sins away. Cleansed us from all unrighteousness. I mean, if there's something bothering you that you did, that you messed up, and you know there's something that's not right, well, you know what? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if there's something that the devil's trying to bug you with, you need to get it right with God. You just go to your Father and you say, Father, I confess to you that I messed up and I need your forgiveness and cleansing. What do you say? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When you're cleansed of all unrighteousness, what does that leave? Righteousness. And you need to know that the enemy is always going to be trying to use that against you, but you don't have to take it. I love this one from the Old Testament because it's not just a New Testament thing. I'm telling you, Abraham was made righteous by faith. Here it is in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. It's him. Not self-righteousness. It's from him. But Satan will always try to get you to back down with accusations and guilt. Stand your ground with boldness because Jesus has made you righteous. Ephesians 6:15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now I want to tell you, we are to always share the good news. And there are many, many verses that make that really, really clear. But this verse is not just talking about us going out and sharing the gospel. It's talking about us being protected by the peace of God. That gospel of peace, because I want to tell you, if the enemy can rattle you, if he can shake you, he can get you to back off of your stance. You got to have the peace of God to stand against the enemy. Amen. Jesus said, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world didn't give it to me. The world can't take it away, and neither can the devil. Then in verse 16 of Ephesians 6, above all, here it comes. Above all that stuff's really important. But then he says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. See, the devil's going to throw everything he can at you. How can you put those fiery darts out? The shield of faith. You believe, you trust God. No matter what it looks like. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You need to understand that sometimes it's going to look really, really bad. And here you are standing. What are you going to do? Believe. Just put that shield of faith up. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Your faith and trust is in God, not in the circumstances. You get your eyes on the wind and waves, you start to sink. You keep your eyes on Jesus and you trust him. And I want to tell you, that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Here it comes again. How do you keep your faith strong? The word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Next, verse 17 of Ephesians 6, and take the helmet of salvation. Jesus is my Savior. He redeemed me. He saved me. He set me free. He made me whole. I'm an overcomer and I know it. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Don't let the devil talk you out of your salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There it is again. You need to know the word of God. What is the word of God here in the armor? It's the sword of the Spirit. You understand that all of the rest of the armor is to protect us and defend us from the attack of the enemy. The sword of the Spirit is not only a defensive weapon, but it is our offensive weapon that we use against the enemy. Do you realize that angels have to obey the word of God? And demons have to heed the word of God. They cannot resist the word of God. It's such a powerful sword. The sword of the Spirit. You know, Jesus used it every time that Satan tried to tempt him. He said, it is written. We need to know the word of God when we're tempted. When Satan tries to attack you, you need to know the scripture that you can stand on. You need to get a promise. And you know what? You can run to the scripture. You know, when you're in trouble, you can run to the scripture and search the scriptures. But I just want to tell you, it's so much easier and better when you've had it put down in your heart, and those times come and you've already got a word. You're ready. You're loaded, not for bear, but for lion. The word, so powerful. Remember, that word was spoken and the worlds were created. That's the power of the word of God. And when you have the armor of God on, you're ready to do warfare. Now, if you're reading this in your Bible, you'll notice that it's not, verse 18 is not a separate thought. It's not even another sentence. It's the same sentence. Praying. What do you do? What do you do when you have this armor on? And the sword of the Spirit. What do you do? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is how we fight. We pray. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. We got to persevere in prayer and supplication for all the saints and for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Prayer. Prayer makes the difference. Something happens when people pray in faith. God moves. He says to pray with perseverance. Again, we can't give up. We don't back down. We keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. There really is a battle that's taking place in the spiritual world. And there's many examples of this in the scripture. But one of the ones that's really interesting is where Daniel has a revelation and he doesn't understand it. And so he's praying and asking for an answer so he can understand the revelation. And he fasts and prays for 21 days. And finally, this angel comes, and he had been stopped in this heavenly battle until Michael, the archangel, came and helped him. And then he brings the answer to Daniel. It took 21 days. Yes, in spiritual warfare, sometimes we have to persevere in prayer because it's not always quick and easy and instant. And it's hard for us to understand that with all, you know, with the microwave and the computer, and we can, you know, find out what's going around the world. Hey, I can give you an answer right now. But there's a spiritual battle that's taking place. And so, yes, we have to persevere in prayer. We need some sweat equity in prayer. Sweat equity comes in the form of, well, physical labor and mental effort. I'm not talking about making prayer a carnal thing, but I'm saying that we need to put effort into our prayer, not the arm of the flesh. We're so prone to try to fix things, do things, and, you know, take the bull by the horns. What we really need to focus on is winning the battle in prayer. Jesus said, if you're going to take a strong man's goods, you first got to bind the strong man. You see, if you're going to reach somebody for the Lord, well, you first need to do some spiritual warfare. This is how we fight. He says, pray for all the saints. But he also said, pray for me, the utterance will be given to me. I want to tell you, if the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, needed people to pray for him that utterance would be given to him and that he would preach the gospel boldly as he ought to. Don't you think that your little podunk pastor needs somebody praying for him? Okay, I do, in case you're wondering. Prayer makes the difference. That's how we fight. And I want to tell you, if the pastor needs it, guess what? Probably most of us do. Pray for the backslider. Pray for the one that's out of church. Fight for them. Take a stand for them. Make up your mind you're not going to let the enemy have them. But we got to use the power of prayer. Jesus gave us the authority to use his name. He said, whatever you ask in my name. And you know, when Jesus said that, I don't think he was thinking about a new Audi. I think that Jesus was thinking about ministry and souls. Amen. Seeing lives changed. That name, it's above every name. We just need to put on the armor, take a stand, and having done all, stand. I know that tonight some of you probably realized some ground that you've given up. I want to encourage you tonight. You can get it back if you'll take a stand. We're serving a God that can turn the sundial back. You know what I'm saying? He moved the sun backwards one day. He can do anything. Take a stand. I'm going to say it one more time. Because I want you to be ready. See, don't wait until it happens. Be ready. There is an evil day when it will look like all is lost and there's no way. That's when you take a stand and you fight. And the Lord will bring a great victory. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to close with prayer.